Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, good morning, everybody. Psychology is fascinating, and what we're talking about for the last few weeks with Gidi Hansen, a licensed family and marriage therapist with a growing place, has been positive psychology. And I know I've said this before on the show. If you're a regular listener, you've heard me say this. There are in football. I use this analogy a lot. There's a coach that I admire a lot. His name is Pete Carroll. He's with the Seattle Seahawks. He coached the USC Trojans. Always upbeat, always positive. Was just a positive guy. He went through, he made a decision in the Super Bowl game, made a terrible call, which will be part of his epitaph. And it cost the Seattle Seahawks the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. He made a pass play under a minute to go. It was intercepted. He has remained positive despite all of this. And in the realm of sports, it was a big one. It was a big mistake. He made a terrible call. Nobody thinks it was a good one. And he has somehow maintained his positiveness and keeps going. And I think that he's a great example in the secular kind of way as to how we all should be living our lives, which is to try to remain even in the depths of a terrible coaching decision, one of the worst ever made in the history of sports. Everything he's done, that will be part of his legacy, is making that call. They were just talking about it the other day on ESPN. And Gidi, I think that's kind of where the ability to remain positive in the worst of times,
yes,
is what we're going through.
Yes.
And so I don't know if you could dovetail off any of that.
Well, I can. Actually, I'm a late bloomer, you might say. I just saw the movie Gravity.
I saw it too.
I saw it on DVD.
I did too.
And look at how Sandra Bullock reacted, the character of Sandra Bullock, reacted negatively to a disaster. I don't know what could be worse than to be floating around in space. And look at how positively George Clooney reacted.
Right.
He kept his mind. He kept trying to get her mind on something positive. Because when we become negative like that, we become paralyzed. Uh-huh. So many depressed people that I counsel,
yes, yes,
don't have the character strength of gratitude, which is what we're talking about. Gratitude is the fastest elevator out of the basement of depression.
Yes.
It's to just start counting my blessings. Uh-huh. And I don't mean that necessarily in a faith-based way. It's just start seeing how fortunate I am. Just start seeing what it is I have instead of what it is I don't have.
Uh-huh.
And so when you were talking about Pete Carroll, I flashed on that movie, which was just an amazing example. And she finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
And she started giving herself positive self-talk when she got inside that capsule. I can do this. I can do this. Okay, what does the manual say? Okay, what do I do next? And so on and so forth.
Is when you're with clients, is that a difficult thing to get? That's a great example. These kind of examples, I wonder, because people, when I've learned in storytelling, you need to create images. You can't just say words and platitudes.
Exactly. It has to become real.
So when somebody sees the movie, they say, I see what you're saying.
Exactly.
Or you point out this coach who made this ridiculous call, which cost them the Super Bowl game, and is going to go down and is one of the worst calls ever made in the history of sports.
Yeah.
But somehow this person remains positive.
Yes.
I mean, those kind of examples, is that part of the therapy that you use?
It can definitely be. The scripture I'd like to share this morning or this afternoon, depending on when it's being aired, is from Psalm 106, verse 1, and this is from the New International Version. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we talked in the last show, how can we be grateful in all circumstances? Well, the answer is here in Psalm 106, verse 1. We can praise the Lord because of who he is. He is good, and his love endures forever. Whatever we go through in this world, whatever we go through on this planet, is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to look forward to and God's own character are eternal.
It's fleeting what happens here on earth. It seems
very
like it's a long
fleeting time.
Yeah. But it's really not.
No.
And the older you get, the more you realize that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So in talk about stories, I don't know how much time we have before the break. Let me just introduce the historical figure of one of the greatest Persian poets who ever lived. His name is Sa'adi. He was born in the early part of the 13th century, 1203 in Shiraz, Iran, and he died on December 9th, 1291 in Shiraz. And many, you know, the Iranians revere their poets more than their kings,
really?
More than their rulers, even more than Islam.
Really?
More than their religion. They revere their poets. And Sa'adi's tomb is in Shiraz, and Hafiz's tomb, who's another great poet, is in Shiraz. And people make pilgrimages to their tombs.
Really?
Yeah. And so this guy, he was the one who came up with this saying, I complained to God that I had no shoes until I went into the mosque and I saw a man who had no feet.
Mm.
Now, Ben Franklin heard that in translation and attributed it to himself. But you can see from the 13th century literature that Sa'adi said that first. Now, that is an attitude of gratitude.
I sometimes do that with my son, where I'll say, you think you have it bad. And is that too much? Is that negative reinforcement? We're going to take a break. But to discuss, you know, yes, it's bad, but take a look at this person, how much worse they have it. Is that, I want to talk about after the break. Is that acceptable to say that? We'll be right back after the break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when
we're talking about gratitude. Very brief story, 20 seconds. My son likes to run. He runs for the cross-country team at Pleasant Valley. He fell down, got 5 stitches in his knee, 2 in the other knee, and he was so bummed out. I mean, it was the worst. I mean, I said, man, you could have broken your ankle. And then you're out for the whole season. You should be pretty gratitude. You should be good. And I said, what about this person who doesn't even have a leg? I mean, what about this person? And I started to wonder, Gidi Hansen, the Growing Place, family and marriage therapist, is that what's meant when you say be thankful for what you have? It could be worse. Is that something you want to avoid?
Well, I think it depends on the circumstance. It depends on the tone of voice and the way that it is offered to our children.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time and a place for everything,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that a statement like that could be very inappropriate, and the child just needs some empathy.
Right.
And at other times, if the child is just being self-indulgent, I would just put him in the car. You were talking earlier.
He was being self-indulgent,
okay.
by the way.
Okay, just put him in the car and take him to a section of town or a section that you know of where less economically fortunate people live.
Right.
And just drive around. Don't say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, take him down to the Jesus Center and ask him to volunteer. Let the experience teach him.
Good
the
advice.
The gratitude.
Good advice.
I mean, we all need that. We, as Americans, I really believe this, we all need an attitude adjustment here.
Yeah. You were going to talk about the next.
Yes. Well, the other thing that Sa'adi is so famous for, at least in my book, was, and this has to do with gratitude. He tells a story about being on a barge that was crossing. It was a ferry that was crossing wide water. I don't know if it was a lake or a river or whatever. And there was a slave on board who did not know how to swim. And he was frightened, and he was screaming and screeching and weeping and wailing at the top of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
So they came to Sa'di, and they said, "What? You're the philosopher. You're the wise man. What can we do to help this slave who's going out of his mind?" And Sa'di said, just very calmly, he said, "Throw him in the water."
Mm.
And the people said, "What?" And he said, "Throw him in the water." So they got a hold of his body. Two men got a hold of him. One, two, three, and threw him in the water. And the slave, you know, got worse, and he was screaming and shrieking and going down and coming up. And then Sa'di said, "Now fish him out."
Mm-hmm.
And they fished him out, and he sat quiet, grateful, and humble in the same spot he had been sitting 5 minutes before.
Wow.
Screaming and screeching. So sometimes, and I believe God does this with all of us.
Yes.
When we get out of hand for whatever reason, he throws us in the water for a while.
Yeah.
And then he fishes us out. And we suddenly have a changed attitude.
Boy, you're
towards
right.
Everything. And now, yes, the barge, instead of being the place of danger, became the place of safety for, uh-huh, this person. And of course, the whole thing is a parable.
Right.
It's to teach us gratitude.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if somebody was really in a boat, now you don't throw them over there, because you don't know the consequences. But
right.
Certainly it's a parable.
It's
that shows.
It's a parable.
Yeah.
And, it's a parable.
But I think you make a good point, is to always focus on the good things that you have in your life and not focus on the negative. And so what you're saying is that even though we're talking about positive thinking, positive psychology,
uh-huh,
we're talking about you are bringing, not necessarily bringing potential negative aspects that could be part of your life.
And we know they
it.
Are.
Yeah.
They're there. What do we do with them?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that? Remember, we did that whole series on ants, automatic negative thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had a whole process of flipping those ants into positive or, mm-hmm, realistic thoughts.
Right.
So it's the same with this. And, you know, I find myself having ants, having negative thoughts. I rejoice when I come across one,
mm-hmm,
because I rather find it and deal with it than have it just constantly going just below the level of consciousness in my mind.
So much of what I see in this, Gidi, I'm speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, a marriage and family therapist over at The Growing Place, is I see groundwork being laid for when the rough times do come.
Yes, yes.
Because we're guaranteed that we're going to have grief in our life. It's a guarantee. I mean,
yes.
Rodney Dangerfield would have a joke. He's an old comedian. I don't know if you remember Rodney Dangerfield.
I do.
He's made me laugh. I always thought he was funny. Kind of crude at times, but he was pretty funny. He'd always say, "The best thing that could ever happen to you in your life, the best, is that you're going to get very old, you're going to get very sick, and you're going to die."
Yeah.
And it was always funny, but it was so much truth in it.
Yeah.
That's the best that's going to happen to you. Everything else is going to be, you know, any, that's the best way in which things are going to work out for you at the end of your life. So so maybe what we need to do, and what these verses are saying, is be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Believing in Christ in Thessalonians, and then what we have in the Psalm 106, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. This is laying the groundwork.
Yes.
For when, even if the best happens, which is what Rodney Dangerfield says, you're going to get very old, you're going to get very sick, and you're going to die, and that's,
yes,
the best that's going to happen, you're prepared for it in some way. You,
yes,
have that basis to prepare for when the bad times come.
Exactly. Exactly. Just think of all the dear souls who don't.
I know.
That's hard.
I know.
That's very hard. And in my opinion, it's never too late to cultivate gratitude.
Is it wrong?
It's never too late.
Is it wrong then to think about being on your deathbed? Is that a negative thing? I mean, where you're saying, okay, I need to prepare. Because sometimes I find myself doing that. I'm going to take a break. We're going to wrap up this segment of the show. And I actually think it's positive to think about death when you get to the end. I think there's a positive aspect to that. But it's all part of positive psychology. And we'll continue our chat, wrap up our chat today with Gidi after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
The final seminar in the Growing Places summer-long series of seminars on the Courageous Living DVD series is this Saturday, and it's at 10 o'clock to 11:30 at the Growing Place over on East Avenue, 1074 East Avenue. To learn more about it, tgplace.com. The topic, perhaps appropriately, choose joy, peace during life's darkest moments. That's the topic, 10 to 11:30 Saturday morning. If you want to be part of that seminar, go to tgplace.com to learn more about it, or call them, 588-0448. Talking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We talked about this, all about positive thinking and trying to prepare for when the times come, laying the foundation. And I posed the question, is it wrong to imagine ourselves on our deathbed, to think about death, not be consumed with it, live life, but to be kind of like ready for when that time comes, how we're going to handle it? Or is it being macabre? Is it being kind of ghoulish? Is it being negative? Sometimes people might think that. Gidi, what's your thoughts
on that? Well, the saints have come up with an answer for that down through the ages. And they have prayed habitually for a holy life and a holy death. St. Paul writes in his epistle that whether I live or die, that God might be glorified. Mm-hmm. So we can glorify God by the way we live, and we can glorify God by the way we die. Mm-hmm. And over the years, my husband and I, and especially my husband, have seen many, many deaths. Mm-hmm. I mean, have been there at the moment of death. And the ones who die in faith almost always are peaceful, they're happy, they're prepared. The ones who have no faith are terrified, they're shrieking, they're fighting until they get doped up enough where they just go through the process. So I, for many years, for myself, my husband, my loved ones, I have prayed. I said, God, I pray for a holy life and a holy death. Mm-hmm. May I glorify you in both ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of the Anglican Missal says at the burial service, in the midst of life, we are in death. And I think it says that in Ecclesiastes too, although I can't, I mean, in Ecclesiastes also, although I can't remember the verse, that it is better to remember that one day you will die than to live a life of self-indulgence in life. Mm-hmm. Because when we remember that we're going to die, it's going to give us wisdom to use our time here wisely.
Right.
God willing, it will, anyway.
Okay, but you can also get consumed with the thought of death to the point where it's a negative.
You can get obsessive-compulsive about it.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about that.
Okay. We have just a couple more minutes left on this show, and I want to make sure that we touch on every base you wanted to for this segment.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the fact that God is good. Mm-hmm. Circumstances may be bad, but God himself is good.
Sometimes people think that God... I guess I'd think this sometimes. I mean, sometimes I think, well, God's going to punish me. God's going to get even with me. God is, you know, because sometimes the Old Testament God, you know, didn't seem like such a nice guy.
Well, you know, if we read the entire Old Testament, there's more about mercy in the Old Testament than judgment. And if we read the words of Christ, there's more about judgment than mercy.
Isn't that, why is that?
Because in the Old Testament, it was leading up to Christ. But if you reject Christ... There's no more testament coming afterwards.
Okay.
That's the end of the road. So he was warning people of that, just like the series we did on Judgment Day.
Right.
He was warning people, this is what's in store, folks. Uh-huh. Be prepared.
So in the Old Testament, God is saying, because, you know, I did read, you know, I've been reading the Psalms, and we try to pick out a couple of Psalms each day.
It's full of his mercy, yeah.
It's all mercy.
Yes.
And well, not all mercy, but a lot of it's just mercy. And when you read Jesus's, the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot of stuff in there to be concerned about.
There is a lot. You're definitely.
And what you're
right.
saying is that Jesus is letting you know I'm your final chance.
Exactly.
I'm your last. I'm not only your best hope. I'm your only hope.
And your last hope.
And your last hope.
Yes.
Wow.
He wants to make sure we don't miss that.
Right. Right.
So I wanted to talk about that God is good and His love endures forever. Mm-hmm. That's helped me a lot in my dark moments. Mm-hmm. where I have just felt comforted and surrounded by the love of God mm-hmm. at times when things have been so dark and so bleak. And it's like he's reminding me, this too shall pass.
When you in your realm as a therapist, you're dealing with the mind a lot. How are you able to combine these two, which involve so much faith and science? How could they work together to help somebody?
Well, first of all, the person has to be open to hearing the information. Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm dealing with a secular individual who at the time does not have any faith-based religion or belief system. And so I would probe to see how open they are to change or how open they are to changing their mindset. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you do that is you ask them, okay, so how is your mindset working for you?
Yeah.
Are you happy? Is this, you know, is this working? And then you make suggestions. If the person's faith, whether they're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or even New Age, if their belief system allows that there is a God out there and he is involved in our lives, then in accordance with the client's belief system, I bring that factor in.
Do you find this new positive psychology, which is, again, relatively new compared to anything else in the profession, 2001, and apparently is when Seligman started talking about it. Do you find it's been the most effective way, and do you use it for with your clients as well?
I use it a lot, and I use it in combination with cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. Because remember what Seligman said way back when in our earliest show, that you cannot ignore true mental disorders. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with them. You can't slap positive psychology on top of it and expect it to go away.
It's a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, thanks for being with us today.
Thank
we'll talk
you.
To you next Wednesday. If you want to give Gidi a call, set up an appointment for you or a family member. The Growing Place is, their phone number is 588-0448, 588-0448. Also go to tgplace.com to learn more about the organization. So long, everybody.